Can you kind of explain to everybody what it is you do for the listeners a little bit?
Great, sure. Well, first I'll answer your question, which is, Laura, I've been well, and I hope you had a good MLK long weekend, as did I. And now I'll shift to the second part. Yeah, so my name is Nicole Gardner, and I'm the director of Career Launch at Perkins, which is the program that Sean was attending in that last period. I hate the way I just said that. Let me just say that again.
You're good.
I might, because I assume you can edit, right? You'll
Yes, we can.
wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So my name is Nicole Gardner, and I'm the director of Career Launch at Perkins, which is the program through which I got to know Sean. He was a participant in that program. And as the director, I'm responsible for overall, direction of the program, vision, execution, and just hoping and working hard to make sure that our participants are as successful as they can be as they come through the program. And they're joining us in search of getting their careers on track. So that's what we're here to do.
Okay, so since you just mentioned Sean, what a perfect time to ask you this. How was Sean in the program? I've heard from a few people he was the one that always helped. How did you see
Well,
Sean
that's for
help?
sure. Yeah, I mean, he was a fantastic participant. Just for context, when Sean came to participate in this program, it was the first time we ever ran it. So we all had butterflies in our stomach pretty much morning, noon, and night because we were on our way,
Yes.
And that's exciting. And actually, the first time I met Sean, I should back up a little bit, was even before we ran the program. If memory serves me correctly, and I could go double check, but whenever we do something new, we do a few test runs to make sure that it's working the way we think it will before we go, live time, right?
Yes.
So we had these two test runs of Career Launch just for a week before we launched the program in its full glory. And if memory serves, Sean was one of the people who came and participated in the test run. But in any event, he was just a remarkable and fantastic person to have in the program. He brought such enthusiasm for learning. He had such a funny and wry sense of humor. He always had something to say, I always wanted to share and was always very, very helpful to people. He had really great tech skills, and that's a big thing, it was a really big thing. And they were broad ranging, I mean, way beyond our area that we were focusing on, which is really around job related technology. And so he was always, just adding little interesting stories or vignettes. And it was very enriching to have him there. But I think the thing that for me most stood out was just his infectious desire to learn and good natured. He was just so good natured, I just love that about him. Yeah. So that's my, when I ever had to have walk away with one memory or one sense of who he was as a person, it was that he was just such, he brought such goodwill and enthusiasm, curiosity to everything he did, and desire to help others.
Do you think that looking back on this program and looking back on the 3 years, do you think having Sean in the program made your first class such a big success?
I would say that about every single participant. First of all, I would say yes for sure. And I would say it about all of them. They came together and gelled in a very unique way. And every single person in that program brought a little something different to it. You can eat vanilla pudding and pretty much, right, what you're gonna get, right? Or you can have a chili where there's the onion and the beef and the bean and the tomato and so on. And that's a much more complex and rich experience for the eaters and maybe even for the food that's sitting in the pot waiting to be eaten. That's how I think of that class, that everybody was contributing to each other and in very, very different ways. Some folks were more kind of socially nurturing than others. Some just were able to like let go with that one funny line when people were feeling a little tense or nervous, because there, mm-hmm. you know, there are times when the program's quite hard, or it might be a challenge you're not comfortable taking quite yet, but you got to take it, right?
Right.
So they all did that, and it's a pattern I've continued to see, but in classes or cohorts since then, that
good
people
deal.
yeah people come and they're all a little tentative. You know, it's something very new, very different. But as we slowly begin to reveal ourselves, get comfortable with who the other people are, realize we all have good intent. We're all here for the same reason. We're all, you know, we're on the same side of the table, every one of us, right?
Right.
And people just get more vulnerable. And then you can really begin to see friendships blossoming on a personal level, and also peer-to-peer help. And that makes me the happiest when I'll be chatting with somebody and they'll say, oh, I got stuck on XYZ. And you know, I call Tyler because Tyler is a tech god. It's like, yes, he is, you know, or, oh, I was struggling with, you know, such and such a thing on my independent project, my presentation, and I call so-and-so. That's really great, because that sense of, let me go find a solution, or if I can't, I'll reach out to my peers.
Right.
Let me talk to my peers. That's a mindset that's wonderful for people in the working world. And so, you know, it's great to see people exhibiting that in the class as well.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, we are such a small knit community in the blindness world. And I'm going to say this openly here, that there needs to be more things out there like this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, Nicole, one of the things that really amazes me about you guys is you all are able to bring out the best in people. You really are. Because whenever I would speak with Sean and ask him how class was, he'd be like, oh, it's great, we had fun. I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And as I really got into it, I'm like, man, I wish I qualified for this program. And doing these interviews, I really wish I qualified for it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we did have a lot of fun in the classroom and out. Sean also was unique in that he was the only person in the program who didn't actually live on campus. So we have two versions. We have a residential program, and then we also happen to have one that's completely virtual. So everybody takes it via Zoom. And but this first class was a residential program, and Sean actually lived off campus, but quite nearby, knew his way, obviously, all around Perkins, like the back of his hand.
Oh, yeah.
So every once in a while, I'd look out and I'd see him walking, you know, at a pretty fast clip up the sidewalk to make it to class on time. And I think that also, you know, that was a kind of, I mean, there were people in that class who had never not lived at home, never had that experience of being totally independent. When am I going to, what am I eating? Who's doing my laundry? I'm doing my laundry, you know?
Yes, yes.
Every single decision is mine to make. And yes. I think people to be sitting with Sean in the classroom and see him sort of say, hey, it's 5, I'm heading home, going to cook some dinner, or, you know, whatever it might have been. That was a little inspirational to people to realize I can be that way too. You know, that could be me in a year or two.
Yeah.
I want to see how he does that and what's it like. And, you know, and they could learn from his journey. And I think that was quite, quite valuable. That was a distinctive thing that I think that Sean contributed to that particular class.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think though that, and yes, I could picture Sean being late to class. I could picture that too, because he was always, I was like, Sean, you're going to be late. There would be days I'd wake him up. It's hilarious because it'd be days I'd wake him up and it'd be like, Sean, you're going to be late. What are you doing? Get out of class. Go. Scram.
Well, thank you for that, because we needed him in there. So we owe you a debt of gratitude.
Well, I'm sure you do, but I mean, I'd be like, Sean, get your homework done for class, go scram. I mean, he was ever the procrastinator, but so am I, so hey.
I'm part of your tribe, I'm sorry to say.
Yes.
But my lifelong development objective, you know, and we all have them, right? Everybody's got they're working on to do better or be better at. So nothing wrong with that. The good thing is, if you know what it is, then you can actually focus on it and try and improve. So but you know, that comment you made earlier, Laura, that people were saying Sean was helpful, you know, that makes me think of another. This is a super vivid memory for me. In the residential program, we go on site visits, and we visit, you know, Winston Flowers, which is a very high-end boutique-y flowers shop that just makes the most spectacular stuff.
Nice. Or
go to, you know, Cambridge Health Alliance. We go to Museum of Science and so on and so forth. And anyway, on this particular day, we went to Museum of Science.
Oh boy.
And nobody knew anything about it, you know, except for Sean, of course. And not only as a native Bostonian or Massachusetts person did Sean know about it, but in fact, he had volunteered there earlier in his life. Mm-hmm. So he was cock of the walk. I mean, he knew where we were, was telling people where things were, was kind of asking when we were getting toured, they were asking him questions and he was sharing. Do you know, it wasn't just the tour guides, which was super nice.
Yes.
And so we just had so much fun on that tour. And they were kind enough to let everybody in the program go back another time just to have fun at the place, because they were on, it was a business meeting. And while they got a tour, they couldn't actually, you know, so many of the exhibits. Yeah. Anyway, on the way out, Sean remembered that there was a place where you could drop a coin as you leave the museum. And imagine like a great big funnel, like it's just a circle that gets smaller and smaller and smaller down to a little pipe at the bottom. Uh-huh. And when you put the coin in, if you just stand it on its side and let it go, it goes around and around and around and around and around. And the lower down it goes, the faster it goes. And you can
feel
that difference in tonality. And he said, Nicole, try this. And I had never done that. So I did, and I loved it. And of course the cars were waiting to drive us back. He said, no, everybody stop. We got to wait. I got to tape this. Mm-hmm. And he pulled out his phone and he fiddled around with his phone and he got it taping at some, I'm sure, you know, highest potential quality ever.
Yes.
Because that's Sean.
Yes.
I had a special phone just for this, but he taped it in a very intentional way from beginning to the bitter end when that penny finally went down. And he said to me, you know, I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this on my radio station, or how I can't recall if he had a radio station or a radio program, or if he was making, you know, radio bloggy kind of things. I don't recall specifically, but he had a whole thing he wanted to talk about when he did it, which we talked about in the car back a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, even when he's like off on his business trip for career launch, you know, he's thinking about his friends and his community and how to like share his lived experience, right, with them.
Yes.
Which I thought was just so generous of him and just so sweet.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things that I will say to you, Nicole, and I've said this to a lot of the other guys in Perkins, but I appreciate everything that you guys are doing to help us with this project, because honestly, we just launched this station just a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we are brand new. And for us to be able to raise money for you guys, that means a heck of a lot.
I'll tell you, it means it to us as well. And by the way, happy couple of month old birthday. Welcome to the world, radio station.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
E-E-R.
I look forward to listening to this. It's great that you guys are doing this, and beyond, I mean, not just the program for Sean, obviously, but just overall, I love the creativity and drive that, you know, are behind that. That's wonderful. And congratulations to the whole team.
And not only that, I'm one of the managers of the station.
Oh,
and along with, and I want to give the other managers some recognition as well.
Yeah.
So here we go. We've got Ashley Bernard, who I don't know where she's at right now. I wish she was up here on this thing with me, but anyway. We've got Nick from out of Sacramento. We've got Brandon out of Iowa and Jessica out of Iowa. We've also got Kevin Roberts out of Texas, I believe is where he's at. So those, and we got Doug Oliver out of Texas. And we've got a Sean M, aka Jenna, out of Mount Vernon, Illinois. So those are all of our managers for this station, and you've got me out of Paducah, Kentucky. But anyway,
thank you very, very much, all of you for this initiative. I think it's just really great. You are the big cheeses of the world today. There you go. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I, Laura, once spent a business trip, speaking of business trips, in Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And I really super enjoyed myself, and I didn't think of it as a southern place, but it is a southern place.
Yes, it is.
That's why I didn't think of Kentucky as a southern place, but I think I got there via Ohio, right? Doesn't it touch Ohio?
Part of it does, yes.
Yeah. So I just thought I was going to be like in virtual Ohio. So anyway, it's a charming, charming area, and it's where I was first introduced to biscuits with gravy. So it holds a special place in my heart because I love that breakfast.
Oh, I love that. Yes, yes, yes. But anyway, but what, okay, where do you see Career Lunch going in the future, Nicole?
I think it's more of the same. You know, we are still building awareness of the program. We have the capacity to do a lot more, to serve more people. And so there's that. We are really looking forward to being able to have the residential program be an offering again once COVID is past us. When we ran it, one of our big realizations was the people who were in the residential program, many of them, so in that in that particular program, and this is unique to that program, mm-hmm. after the 2 months of training, you actually do an internship.
Yes.
And the idea is you head back home to Paducah or Idaho or wherever it might be mm-hmm. to do your job search. But many of our participants actually got job offers from the companies they were interning with. You know, the company yes. called us and said, would you mind if we made an offer to so-and-so? Like, we really love him or we really need her. And we said, no, of course you can. But Boston housing market being what it is, you know, it would have been impossible to accept the job without an apartment already set up.
Oh, so yeah.
We realized that there was an opportunity. We did a trial of letting people come back for a limited period of time to the campus while they went back to their jobs and they did their apartment search. And it was a really nice kind of, especially for folks who'd never lived on their own, it was kind of a nice halfway step into mm-hmm. fully independent living and work to mm-hmm. go from neither to community living with work to fully independent living with work. So nice. That's something we really want to work on, I think, in the future. You know, as this program plays out, I could imagine us thinking about other ways to extend our reach, perhaps with a different class of jobs, perhaps in other countries. It'd be very easy, for example, to take what we do and do it for Canadians or the Brits, or right. maybe work with a country with people like ourselves in another country, and maybe they could do it in that country and their own, you know, in the home language. It needs to be obviously made local right. for the local community, et cetera. So there, I mean, there's just, you know, age is another possibility, who knows? There's just lots of ways that we could think about extending our reach and impact and our service. And that's what we're really about is service to the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that with this program and with the station's help, hopefully we can get you guys funds, but what specifically are you guys looking for as far as funds? Like where is your biggest need right now? Like and the reason I'm asking this is because you're the director of this thing, and I figured this would be a good question for you. Mm-hmm. So where is the biggest need right now?
We are always grateful for funds for scholarship, because not all families and not all individuals can afford the program, and we're not yet in a situation where all states have the capacity, for whatever reason it might be, or willingness, whatever reason it might be, to fund their clients who think that Career Launch is for them. So we have had, we've been very lucky to have access at times to scholarship funds, and we would always appreciate that. And I think, you know, that's where we would direct. From this fundraiser, for example, that's where we would direct the money.
Okay.
I will say, Laura, I'm going to stop the interview. So you have to do a cut here, right? But I'm not the development department. You know, I'm not the fundraisers.
Okay.
They want me to say that or not. So I wonder if you would mind like just cutting before we get to that question.
I don't.
Okay, thanks. I know why you're asking it, and I'm grateful that you're asking it. I'm also a little bit worried that, you know, maybe
I'm
wrong or I never know. I don't want to make a faux pas.
Yeah, no.
I didn't grow up in the world of nonprofits. I grew up in business where we talk about money all the time. That's what we do, but it's not so typical here. So maybe you don't include that question if that's okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
You're good. We will take that out.
Super. Thank you.
You are so welcome. And one last thing for you that I have is, do you feel like that as Career Launch has grown virtually, do you feel like that you've seen some big changes, like with some of the technology? I know I was speaking with Brian last week, And apparently some of the stuff you guys use is like, what is it? Google Drive, I think.
Yep. We do use Google Drive. Everything's done in Google. Yeah.
Oh, you don't use Microsoft. Wow. Okay. I figured y'all would use Microsoft Office for some of it.
We train on both because many companies use Microsoft, and other companies, as well as educational institutions, nonprofits, et cetera, might be using, for example, Google. Those are the two big, I would say, environments. So yep. We absolutely train on both. And there's a lot of comparability in terms of the basic functionality. Mm-hmm. But as it happens, Perkins itself is on Google. So when we're in the, you know, when we're in the classroom, or when we're storing things in Drive or making appointments or whatever, we do tend to use Google. But we certainly, yeah, we added quite a bit to the technology curriculum when we went virtual, both for ourselves, but also it empowered people to be more capable of working independently and from home, which is a great thing because, as we all know, transportation systems around our vastly large and spread out country are not all that they could be for people.
No, they're not.
So if you're living 15 miles from the nearest town, it's pretty, without an Uber, a subway, mm-hmm. you know, a bus, et cetera. It's pretty mm-hmm. nice to have that option, you know, to right. have the option of remote work. So yeah, in terms of tech, we do, you know, the business suites. We mm-hmm. also train on Salesforce, which is a very ubiquitous CRM, customer relationship management database software that's used by many, many companies and is fully accessible. We teach a lot of apps that we think of as empowerment apps. They may mm-hmm. or may not have been designed for this community. Some might have been, but others certainly were not. Nevertheless, they really are very empowering. So we spend time on those. And Brian is a whiz when it comes to tech. He and Sean can really get into it at times. And the rest of us were like, oh my gosh. So I think it's a very, very robust curriculum. And by the way, Laura, if I may, on that note, I just want to let listeners know that we are offering a new program this summer. It's a 1-week program. And we're offering two flavors, kind of like chocolate and vanilla. We're offering a week-long tech boot camp.
Ooh.
We'll take roughly 50% of somebody's time. It's not full-time over 5 days. It's about half-time over 5 days. And 1 week, and you can sign up for one, the other, or you can have a double scoop. 1 week is in the Microsoft suite, so you'll hone your skills. And then the other is in the Google suite. And so people can choose or do both as they wish. So we're very excited about that. We haven't publicized it quite yet. We're just doing some wrapping up details, but we'll announce that in the coming weeks or so, or month or so.
Well, and, how can somebody like myself sign up? I'm wanting to sign myself up, buddy.
Oh, you can find us. You'll look on. Well, first of all, you can write to me any old time. But for folks out of the big world, it'll be on our Perkins website, and we will launch it on social media, et cetera. So if you're following Perkins, and I encourage everybody to follow Perkins on social media because we have wonderful stuff, you'll find it there. You can also just come to the career launch page, you know, search career launch at Perkins, come to our page and just write us a note and say, hey, what gives? Where's that tech bootcamp? I'm ready. And we'll get you signed up.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing, though, that really surprises me. Is there an assessment that goes with that?
Yes, we do have an assessment. And in the same way that we assess people before they come to our program, uh-huh. we expect people to have gaps. I mean, that's why we're offering it.
Yeah.
We have to know that whatever gap somebody might have, in the time we have to work with that person, we can realistically help them fill those gaps. If the gap is so giant that we can't realistically, you know, if you've never played piano and I have a week to teach you for Elise, that's not going to happen. If
you've
played piano for a few years and you want to learn that song, that little song by Beethoven, probably, you know, you can read music, et cetera. I could probably sit down with you and you could work on it. And in a week you could learn that piece.
Right.
But not if you've never played, right? So that's the analogy I'd use. So we definitely do do assessments. And if somebody's not quite ready, we might say, look, you need to work on this and this and then come back. And we've done that even for career launch, where people have not quite met our admissions requirements and they've gone away. And in some cases, they've come back and then they were admitted. So one thing I would say to all listeners, by the way, if you want to work in an office setting, I mean, I'm not saying if you want to be a sculptor or if you want to be a chef or a long distance swimmer, but if you want to work in an office setting, I would say typing speed and accuracy is a thing to work on. And in my mind, piano is a great analogy.
Yep.
If you don't practice every day, your piano fingers, they get rusty. You know, they slow down. You forget where the keys are. Same with typing. If you type a little, if you spend 15, 20 minutes today, just write a journal on your computer, or, you know, do whatever, but do something where you're literally composing. If you do that every day, 15, 20 minutes, you would be amazed at how quickly your speed and accuracy will improve. And that is so critical from a productivity perspective. So that's one thing you can do while you're waiting for, anybody can do, not you personally, but anyone can do while they're waiting for our tech bootcamp. But we hope we get a lot of people coming in for it. We know it's a, very important service to provide, because so many people, when their kids growing up, or when they're, even when they're in college or even in work, they just didn't have the time. There's so much more to the extended core curriculum. And so they just didn't have the time to focus on this, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you have to be using JAWS, or can you use NVDA?
I think you can do NVDA or JAWS or Zoom. I think you can do all of them. Brian would be the right person to answer that. For sure, we'll be. I know we teach in Zoom Text and JAWS, but I believe you can use NVDA. But I that's one for Brian.
Okay, I'll just shoot him an email.
yeah, shoot him an email. Sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. I should.
You're good.
Okay, good.
Don't worry about that. But one last quick thing from you, for you, Nicole, and I appreciate you taking the time out to redo this interview again. I apologize for having to redo it.
Please, it's been such a pleasure. No worries.
I felt bad.
No, don't. I'm enjoying.
Okay, cool. But Sean was telling me about a story where on the day he got diagnosed, he messed up this flowers thing that you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What actually happened on that? I kind of want your perspective on that one. I thought that was a funny story. I think it's a good way to end this.
To be honest, I don't know if I was in the classroom when that happened, because I don't have a recollection, and it sounds like I should, because it sounds like it's a good story. What did he happen?
Whatever day he got diagnosed with cancer. Apparently he was discounting everybody's sales. He was down.
Oh, I do remember. I didn't realize it was the same day in my memory, but I do remember one time where he was, you know, it was problem solving. Like we start with the easiest calls, and then we work our way up. And then in the very last day of all of the days of doing call simulation.
Yep.
We have the cranky customer day, and everybody kind of dreads it, you know, irate Irene, whatever, you know, cranky Carl. And we were all cranky, you know, so maybe I was ordering flowers from my dearly departed grand aunt, whom I never met before, but they had to be just so, and they didn't come out just so. And I, you know, that kind of thing. And I do remember several of people got kind of flustered. And I do remember Sean was like, money can solve any problem. So let me give you a discount. You can have two for the price, whatever it was. You know, he was like minting cash for the customers and not for the company. It was like, you know, that it did make me feel better as the caller, but think about your boss and what are you allowed to do, because you can't do that. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh God. Okay. Okay. Two questions right there.
Yeah.
Could you guys use volunteers? Oh God. I can't even get through the question. I'm laughing so hard. Okay. Could you guys use volunteers to help with the call simulations? I'll get it right in a minute.
Yes. The answer to that is yes, always we can use help with the call simulations.
Well,
we have some companies that do it. They love coming. You know, their people love coming. I mean, I say coming virtually.
Yeah.
We have friends and family who volunteer. We have Perkins volunteers. And we would love to have listeners join us.
Well, guess what? Consider me being a volunteer. Would love to do it.
You are done. We're starting our next program on February 14th. Yes. We're still looking at applicants, by the way, folks. But the window's closing. So if you're hearing this and you're even vaguely interested, give us a holler. But Lori, you're on. Just let Alicia know, and you'll be booked in no time.
Okay, so what all do I have to do with the volunteer? I can be cranky. I can be whatever.
Well, on cranky day, you can be cranky. You can't be cranky at the beginning because people are all like, oh my God, you know? So we're just at the beginning. So, but what we do is we do have training. Like we'll mm-hmm. send you a little link and you watch and listen to this training. And Alicia walks you through, here's the company. Here are the kind of problems people are solving today. Here's how you should interact. You know, there's a little Google form you fill in as you go to assess and evaluate. So We don't want any, what is it called? Loose bowling balls anywhere. But, but if you can follow directions, then you'd be actually a very wonderful. And you must be able to give honest feedback. If somebody, you know, forgot to say thank you very much at the end, or if they sounded, hi, it's Nicole, how can I help you? You know, that's not a good tone, right? As opposed to, no, hey, Nicole, how can I help you? Right. I asked my husband to do this. Yeah. And he said in bed at night, you know, person A, I'm a little worried about person A. Here's why. And I said, well, did you put that in the feedback form? He said, no, I couldn't do that. I said, person B, they should have done this better. I said, David, did you put it in the feedback form? No, I couldn't do that. He was fired. Like I never used him again because
I don't blame you.
Yeah. People need to hear the feedback to improve. You need to know so that you know where to focus. Right.
Right.
So now, he thought he was being sweet, but he really wasn't.
yeah, I agree. So how many calls a day are required and all of that? I mean,
if you're a volunteer, it's usually about a two and a half or three hour block with a break in the middle. So people might do calls for an hour, hour and a half, 10 minute break, hour and a half. Maybe it's 2.5 hours total, something like that.
Okay.
So it's always, almost always in the afternoon because we've got people coming from California or where have you. So it's typically, we would start around, I would say one or two, I'd say East Coast time, and right. Typically be done by 3 or 4.
That's not bad. Like
that, roughly. Yeah. Okay. It's not a huge lift, you know?
Yeah.
And once you've learned how to do it, it's really easy and fun. Mm-hmm.
There would be a couple of days there where I couldn't do it throughout the week. And because I've got prior commitments, I couldn't do it like every day. Would that be a problem?
Oh, no. You only volunteer. I mean, one can volunteer multiple times, but if you volunteer, typically we'll say, okay, you are Tuesday, March 17th, you know, from right. this time to this time, does that work for you? Because we want a variety of callers calling in so that our participants don't always hear the same 7 people.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just a day. Like literally you're just off. All you're giving us is an afternoon, half of an afternoon. And you're making a huge difference in the learning and lives of our people. So we really appreciate that offer, Laura. And we really welcome anybody else to come on down.
I've been wanting to do it for a while.
Yay. Oh, good.
Sean was going to talk to you guys.
Yeah,
it never materialized. And
yeah.
So I never heard anything. So.
Yeah. Well, now's your chance. Now's your chance. Which would be great.
Yeah.
Really great. I wish he could be a caller for us.
I know.
He'd be so wonderful.
He would.
He'd be so wonderful. He's got that quirky humor. He'd be so much fun.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, I think Brandon Hennis would be a very good caller for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Brandon has known Sean for 15 years.
Oh, well, put him in touch with us. I don't know him, but I'd love to meet him.
Well, he was supposed to have been here today on this interview, but I don't know what happened. I don't know where everybody else is today, but.
More time for us, Laura. That's okay with me.
That's cool with me. Yeah, that's cool with me. But yeah, and I do appreciate all of your help and all of your willingness to work with other people. I really do.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. It is really a privilege and an honor. I had a long career before coming to Perkins in business. And honestly, I feel this is the most consequential and important work I'll ever do in my life. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. So, mm-hmm. So thank you. And thanks. And thank you again. I can't thank you enough for memorializing Sean in this beautiful and really special way. I think it's going to mean so much to all of us.
Yeah. And like I've said, all I need to know is who to talk to about volunteering is all I need to know.
Yep. Alicia's your girl.
Okay. I will take care of that as soon as we get done off this call.
Super, super, Laura. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And, you know, I want to say from everybody here, I'm going to say this one for me. Thank you, Perkins people that I have talked with so far. That is Alicia, Gina Kreese, Nicole Gardner, and Brian Switzer from Career Launch. for everybody else on the EER fundraiser, stay tuned for more great programming. Thank you so much and have a wonderful rest of your day, Nicole.
Thank you, Lori, and the same to you. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.